Blog Talk Radio.
Well, shalom, everyone. This is Evangelist August Rosado with Today in Bible Prophecy Ministries. We want to welcome you to our program as we're looking at current world events in light of biblical prophecy and the soon return of our Lord Jesus. Well, folks, it is great to be back with you on the air today. And of course, we are coming to you live from Lincoln, Rhode Island. And it is great to be here with all of you on the broadcast today. And so thank you so much for tuning in. And we come to you every single week as we look at current world events in light of biblical prophecy. And so, again, folks, we appreciate each and every one of you for tuning in to the program today. And so we're going to be looking, of course, at the Jewish High Holy Days. And then, of course, you know, we talked last week about Rosh Hashanah and the Day of Atonement. And on today's broadcast, we are going to be talking about Yom Kippur and the Day of Atonement. Now, I'll tell you, the devil really hates these radio programs because just prior to the broadcast, this crazy sound was coming from my computer. And it, you know, pretty much locked everything up. And I just did not know what in the world was going on. And so it pretty much locked everything up. And I just, you know, we just, you know, had to restart everything over again, and things were just really slow. So what we're going to do is we're going to restart the program today. But again, thank you so much. Thank all of you for tuning in to the broadcast today. And again, we are coming to you live from Lincoln, Rhode Island. And we're also, you know, broadcasting this on Facebook live stream. And so, of course, we want to thank every one of those that watch every single week on Facebook live stream. And so we have three things going right now. We have the audio segment of Blog Talk Radio going right now live. We are also live streaming on Facebook so that people on Facebook are watching this radio broadcast live stream from Lincoln, Rhode Island. And we also record this radio broadcast to upload onto Facebook. And so people who cannot watch us live or listen to us live would be able to watch us on YouTube. And so you can follow me, folks, on those social networks. You can look at all of my videos on YouTube. You simply go to August Rosado, and you'll be able to watch all of our videos. And then, of course, you can follow me on Facebook. I have a profile that is public, so anybody can, you know, follow me or watch our live streaming. And so you can follow me on Facebook, simply August Rosado. Also on Twitter, we put all of our news stories on Twitter. So you can go to Twitter, Bible_prophecy. That's my handle on Twitter, Bible_prophecy. Or just simply type my name in, August Rosado. And also, you can follow me on LinkedIn. And, of course, I really don't go on LinkedIn a lot, but I only go on LinkedIn every Saturday to upload the Blog Talk Radio segment so that people can YouTube and so on and so forth, and, of course, Facebook. And so we're live streaming the radio show right now on Facebook, and we have the audio segment live on Blog Talk Radio. For those of you that are watching live on Facebook live stream, if you have a Bible prophecy question concerning this radio segment and what I'm going to be talking about, Yom Kippur and Messiah's Temple, That's what I want to be talking about today, because we are right now in the middle, in the midst of the Jewish High Holy Days. And then, of course, last week we talked about Rosh Hashanah, which is the Jewish Civil New Year 5777, and how we connected that, not to the rapture per se, but to the Lord Jesus, because that is a Jewish feast and not a Christian feast. Today, we're going to connect Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, which, by the way, begins at sundown Tuesday, October 11th, and ends at sundown October 12th at evening, right on my birthday, by the way. And so that is also a Jewish feast. And we're going to connect this Jewish feast with Messiah's temple, or the temple that Ezekiel talks about, and how Jesus himself is going to build that temple with his very own hand. So all of you that are right now watching, you could ask the prophecy question, type it in to that live chat box that you see below over there, because I see your names right now. And, of course, I'm going to acknowledge, as I usually do, everybody who is watching and say hello to you and call you out by name. I like to do that. And don't forget, folks, Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, I am on Facebook live streaming, and we are going through the book of Daniel. And yesterday, we finished in Daniel chapter number 5, because, mind you, we're going through the book of Daniel in chronological order. And so I have to just break and just say this. Tommy Costa said that he had a dream about me last night. Well, we were talking about dreams in Daniel chapter number 5, Tommy. And by the way, it's good to have you, and I just accepted your Facebook friend request. I haven't heard or seen from you in a while, and I pray that everything is okay with you, man. But again, for all of you that are watching, if you have a Bible prophecy question, or if you have a question related to what I'm going to be teaching about today concerning Yom back on right now through Blog Talk, there we go. And, you know, people call in and then it messes up the feed. And so my computer was making all kinds of crazy noises and didn't know what was going on. It was like a loud buzzing noise. And then everything froze. I couldn't move the cursor or nothing. And this was like 5 minutes before the live broadcast. And so and shut the computer down. Then it took a long time for it to reboot again, restore all the pages again. And then now all of a sudden this phone call comes in and it booted me off the audio segment for Blog Talk Radio. And so it just, the devil hates the subject of Bible prophecy, folks. He hates it. He hates the subject of Bible prophecy. But hey, we're live streaming right now on Facebook. We have audio, live audio on Blog Talk Radio. And of course, we're recorded for those who subscribe to us and follow us on YouTube and all of our. Now, listen, don't forget to visit my website, todayinbibleprophecy.org, todayinbibleprophecy.org. While you're there, sign up for our newsletters. They go out every single Friday, they go out every single week. And I know that these newsletters will be a blessing to you. So you can follow us where I'm going to be, if I'm going to be speaking at a church near you. And so you can keep up the tabs with us as well as on the social network, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and LinkedIn. So you can follow us on all of those social networks. And so I'm excited about the Jewish High Holy Days. And I want to talk about Yom Kippur, or the Day of Atonement. Now, of course, I'm not preaching out anywhere Sunday morning, which will be October the 9th. I have the opportunity once again to be at my home church, Greater Rhode Island Baptist Temple in Johnston, Rhode Island. That church is pastored by Dr. Jeff Anfaugh. That's my pastor, and he will be preaching tomorrow. And so if you don't have a church to go to, or if you're looking for a church family, then join us tomorrow morning, 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 6 p.m. at the Greater Rhode Island Baptist Temple, 671 Greenville Avenue in Johnston, Rhode Island. I'll run through all of this again at the end of the broadcast. But again, if you're watching live stream on Facebook, if you have a prophecy question, type that question in there right now, or you can ask it at the end of the broadcast. If not, then I'm just going to say hello to all of you and call you all by name that are watching right now just to thank you for being on the broadcast. So we want to talk about Yom Kippur and Messiah's Temple. That's what I want to talk about right now. But before I do that, I want to go to the book of Leviticus. The book of Leviticus. Leviticus 23 records the seven feasts that God gave to the Jewish people that would be a memorial throughout all of their generations. And, of course, we see in Leviticus 23, and beginning in verse number 27, it says this. Or actually, verse 26. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, also on the tenth day of this seventh month, there shall be a day of atonement, or as they say in Hebrew, Yom Kippur. Yom is Hebrew for day, Kippur, covering. So it's the day of covering or the day of atonement. He says this, it shall be a holy convocation unto you, and ye shall afflict your souls and offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. And ye shall do no work in that same day, for it is a day of atonement, to make an atonement for you before the Lord your God. For whatsoever soul it be that shall not be afflicted in that same day, he shall be cut off from among his people. He shall do no manner of work. It shall be a statue forever. Olam in Hebrew. A statue forever throughout your generations. Dorot, as they say in Hebrew. Dorot. In all your dwellings. It shall be unto you a Sabbath or a Shabbat, a Sabbath of rest, and ye shall afflict your souls in the ninth day of the month at even from even or evening to evening, unto even, ye shall celebrate your Sabbath. And so Leviticus 23 records the sixth feast on the Jewish calendar known as Yom Kippur or the Day of Atonement. Yom Kippur, as I said, folks, is the holiest feast or the holiest day on the Jewish calendar, as it is observed from sundown to sundown. Now, back in 1973, October of 1973, when pretty much the nation of Israel just shuts down, the synagogues are full, even the military is off, you know, observing this solemn feast. There's no celebration to observing Yom Kippur. There's no celebration. There's no laughter. There's no joy. It's a serious time for the Jewish people. It's a time of reflection. It's a time to observe, and they fast and so on and so forth. They abstain from eating. They abstain from intimacy and so on and so forth. And so it's a serious time of reflection. And again, it is observed from sundown to sundown. But in October of 1973, Israel was attacked by three Arab nations on Yom Kippur. Syria came from the northeast, Egypt came from the south, and the Jordanians came over the Jordan River. Three Arab nations attacked because they figured, listen, the military is going to be off. You know, the nations, we can catch these guys off guard. And they did so. First, they gave a black eye to the state of Israel. But Israel regrouped, and they came back right at these three Arab nations. They drove the Syrians all the way back to Damascus. And if Israel wanted to, Damascus could have been greater Israel today. They drove Egypt all the way back to Cairo and obliterated their air force. They could not even get a plane off the ground. They obliterated their air force, and they drove the Egyptians all the way back to Cairo. And if Israel wanted to, Cairo could have been greater Israel today. And they drove the Jordanians back over the Jordan River. I mean, things were so bad that the late Egyptian president Anwar Sadat said, listen, if you can't beat these guys, you might as well join them. And he was the first Arab president with the Jewish state of Israel. He even went to the Knesset in Jerusalem and spoke to the Israeli parliament. And, folks, the moment he got back home, it was during an Egyptian military parade. And as Anwar Sadat was seated in his presidential box, his military, armed to the teeth, were walking with their AK-47s on their shoulders. They stopped, they turned, ran at the president, and they opened fire on their own president. You know why they did that? Because Anwar Sadat committed the unpardonable sin. You don't make peace with the Jewish people. As an Arab, you don't make peace with the state of Israel. And that's what Anwar Sadat did, and it cost him his life. Even though today Egypt does have a peace treaty with Israel that was signed in 1979 between then the late Anwar Sadat and then President Jimmy Carter. Don't get me started with that one there. And of course that was in 1979. So only two Arab states have a peace treaty with Israel today. Of course, that would be Egypt, and then east of the Jordan River would be Jordan. They signed a peace treaty with them in 1994, the Jordanian-Israeli peace accord. So even though Israel has a peace treaty with those two Arab nations, man, it's a cold peace. Never really been normalized, but it is indeed a cold peace. And then, of course, both Arab nations are now calling, or those within their parliament, they are now calling for both peace treaties to be broken because they just don't want peace with the Jewish people. But as I said, Yom Kippur, or the Day of Atonement, it begins on Tuesday evening, October 11th, to Wednesday evening on my birthday, October the 12th. So it begins in the evening and it ends in the evening. By the way, that's the Jewish standard of time. Their day begins at evening and it ends at evening, you know, from 6 p.m. to 6 p.m. You know, like on our calendar, our day begins at midnight and it ends at midnight. But that's not the case with the Jewish people. Their day begins at 6 p.m. and it ends at 6 p.m. from evening to evening. Remember Genesis chapters 1 and 2, the evening and the morning were the first day. The first day, Echad Yom in Hebrew. So it begins on the 10th day of the 7th month, which is, of course, the Jewish month Tishrei, which again corresponds to late September, early October. And as I said, folks, it is called Yom. That's Hebrew for day. Yom Kippur covereth. You know, Jewish people today, and, you know, let me just see if I can reach for this over here. Excuse me. Let me just reach for this right here by an Israeli lady in Jerusalem because I was sharing the gospel with her, and I gave her a complete Hebrew Bible. And so I wanted to purchase this right here, and this is a kippur, or it is a kippah. And, of course, as you know, Jews wear this, religious Jews anyway, they wear this, you know, especially when they're at the Western Wall, or they say in Hebrew, the Kotel, or Christians call it the Wailing Wall. And you'll notice that they wear these kippahs. For men, you cannot go into the Western Wall Plaza and pray at the holiest site in Judaism, the remains of a 2,000-year-old wall that was closest to the most holy place when the Second Temple was standing. So when you walk in there, there's a bin there, and you have to take a kippah. No, you know, well, it's like a cloth kippah that you just put on your head. You go and you pray, then when you come back, you take it off, you throw it back in the bin. But this one right here was given to me. As you can see, it has a messianic seal of the Jerusalem church on it. You see the seven-branch Jewish menorah mentioned in Exodus chapter number 25. It gave light to the tabernacle and the first and second Jewish temples. And then, of course, on the bottom is the fish. Now, this wasn't a religious Jewish lady, but yes, she has a messianic symbol right here that represents Christianity. So the base of the seven-branch menorah intertwined with the tail of the fish forms the Star of David, to show, based on Romans 11:17, that the church has been grafted into the house of Israel. So So this right here is called a kippah or kippur because now my head is covered. Yom Kippur, Yom Kippah, Day of Covering, or the Day of Atonement. Again, it begins on the 10th day of the 7th month, which is the Jewish month Tishrei, late September, early October. So it's a holy convocation, the Bible says. In other words, it's a holy gathering of God's people on this very, very solemn day. And we know that Jews were required by God to afflict their souls. And even today, 500 years later, they fast for 25 hours. They abstain from any form of intimacy. And in biblical times, they offered a sacrifice by fire unto Hashem, a sacrifice of fire to the name of the Lord. You know, but because there's no temple today in Israel, there is no temple today. There's no blood sacrifice, so it's unfortunate. You know what the Jewish people do today in Israel? They get a chicken, and they'll take that chicken and hold that chicken by its legs upside down. And then they'll take a little black book called in Hebrew the Siddur, which is the prayer book. They'll open that prayer book and they'll recite prayers out of the Siddur. They'll hold that chicken above their head and they'll swing that chicken around their head as they're reading out of the Siddur, the prayers out of the Siddur. And what they're pretty much saying is, this chicken is my sacrifice. This chicken's blood was shed for me. Chicken atones for my sin. And then they'll kill the chicken, and then they'll give the chicken to a poor family. And that's really, really unfortunate. You know, it wasn't a chicken that died for your sins. It was the Messiah of Israel, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, the Lamb of God, John 1:29, John 1:36, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. He is our atonement. He is our atonement. He died on the cross for the sins of all mankind. Psalm 22:16-18. Isaiah chapter number 53. Talk about one man dying for the sins of all. And it's unfortunate today that you have these Hasidic, ultra-Orthodox Jews that take a chicken and wave it over their head and say, this chicken atoned for my sins. If this chicken's blood, you know, washes away my sins. I mean, that is really sad, folks. It's despicable, to be honest with you. It's sad. And they ignore the messianic prophecies that we find in the Tanakh, the Old Testament, that we find in the Psalms. The Jewish Old Testament in Luke 24:44 is divided this way: Torah, Nevi'im, and Ketuvim. Torah, the five books of Moses. Ketuvim, the prophets, and Nevi'im, the writings, and the Psalms will be included in the writings, as well as Daniel is also included in the writings of the Jewish division of the Hebrew scriptures. Even Daniel 9:26 tells us that after the 69 weeks of prophecy, Mashiach is cut off. That is the Hebrew word karet, that simply means the Messiah suffers the death penalty. And it's unfortunate today that the rabbis and the Jewish people, by and large, in Israel, they are oblivious to these messianic prophecies. In verse 28 of Leviticus 23, they were to abstain from all forms of labor, and they were to sacrifice to the Lord, and the blood would atone for them for that one year. Anyway, it would temporarily cover their sins, not permanently, but temporarily cover their sins. Remember Leviticus chapter 17 and verse number 11. The life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given unto you to make an atonement, tippur, of your soul, for it is the blood that maketh atonement for the soul. And the parallel to that, you know, when we use inductive Bible study here, would be out of Hebrews chapter 9 and verse number 22. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. There is no forgiveness of sins. Unless the blood of Jesus has been applied, then one day in hell, you're going to lift your eyes. So now that there's no temple in Israel today, it was destroyed by the Romans 2,000 years ago in 70 AD, what do you do for a blood atonement? It's not a chicken. You're not going to find that anywhere in Scripture. You're not going to find that anywhere in the Torah, the Im or the Ketuvim, anywhere in the Word of God, that we need to go to a chicken for atonement. We go to one individual, the prophesied Messiah of Israel, who atones for the sins of not some, he atones for the sins of all. You know, what's my definition of all? All means all, and that's all means. He died on the cross for the sins of all mankind. In verse 29 of Leviticus 23, any Israelite who failed to observe this feast or afflict their soul would be cut off. Again, it's that same Hebrew word, karet, that we find in Daniel 9:26, referring to the Messiah dying. If they fail to observe this feast, if they fail to afflict their soul, that individual would be put to death. Now, some would try to say, well, maybe that's referring to them being cast out of the congregation or cast out of the land. No, I don't think so. Because in Leviticus chapter 20 and verse number 30, any Israelite found working on that day would be destroyed. They would be killed. Listen, folks, labor was forbidden on that day. This day was to be observed by the Jews throughout all their generations. In other words, this would be perpetual. Generation, again, is the Hebrew word darot, which means that they would observe this feast throughout all of their generations. Olam, forever. Now, we know that it begins on October 11th, Tuesday night. So that means that Tuesday night would be a high Sabbath. All day Wednesday will be a high Sabbath. Any one of these high holy days, I mean, we're talking Rosh Hashanah, Feast of Trumpets, we talked about that last week, Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, or Tabernacles, if it falls during the week, on that specific weekday, it is an immediate high Shabbat. It is a high holy day. It is a high Sabbath if it fell during a weekday. So again, Tuesday evening, October 11th, will be a high Shabbat. It will be a high Sabbath till Wednesday on my birthday, October the 12th. It will be a high Shabbat until the evening of October the 12th. Now, on Rosh Hashanah, Feast of Trumpets, Jesus returns at his second coming. We talked about that last week out of Matthew chapter 24 and verse number 31. We know that at the rapture, a trumpet sounds to gather the church, you know, up into heaven before the tribulation period. But remember, Rosh Hashanah isn't a Christian feast. It is a Jewish feast. This was given exclusively to Israel. But we know based on Matthew 24:31, another trumpet will sound to gather his elect. That would be Israel and the saved of the tribulation period from the four winds of the heaven, which is another term for the four corners of the earth, to gather them to the city of Jerusalem for the inauguration of the millennial kingdom. Now, there is a 10-day span between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. 10 days will elapse, and the Jewish people call this the 10 days of awe. And during that 10-day period before Yom Kippur, and by the way, we're in that 10-day period now before Yom Kippur next week, Jews reflect. They try to do a lot of good works. They call people asking for forgiveness. Hey, if I wronged you, would you please forgive me? They will go to a body of water or a lake or a running stream, and they'll take breadcrumbs or lint out of their pocket, and they'll throw it into the stream. And by doing that, they're casting their sins into the lake. And again, that ain't going to take you to heaven. They're absolutely deceived, unfortunately. Again, they're not willing to look at the messianic prophecies to see that all these prophecies point to Yeshua. They point to the Lord Jesus. But during that 10-day period called the 10 days of awe between Feast of Trumpets and Yom Kippur, the Jews take time to reflect. And then on Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, they hope that their name is put in the Book of Life. When the Book of Life is open in heaven, their name will be in that book, at least for that 1 year, anyway, until the following year on David, Yom Kippur, where they have to do these things again. But we know on the Day of Atonement, you know, speaking of, you know, Bible prophecy, the Day of Atonement will be fulfilled when Jesus walks into a fourth Beit HaMikdash, when Jesus walks into the temple that he will build with his own hands. As a matter of fact, why don't we look at Zechariah chapter number 6, if you will. Zechariah chapter number 6, and you will notice with me in verses 12 and 13 where it says this, "And speak unto him, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, Behold, the man," ha'ish in Hebrew, "the man, whose name is the branch," Hebrew, ha'sari, "the branch, and he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord." Now, this is not the tribulation temple. This is a fourth temple that's after the tribulation temple that will stand during the millennial kingdom, will be built by the hand of the Messiah himself. Verse 13, "Even he shall build the temple of the Lord, and he shall bear the glory, and shall sit and rule upon his throne." That will be the throne of David, by the way, spoken of in Isaiah 9, 6, and 7, and Luke 1, 32, and 33. "And he shall sit upon his throne, and he shall be a priest upon his throne. And the council of shalom, the council of peace, shall be between them both," between Jesus and his flesh and blood that have rejected him for the past 2,000 years. So on the Day of Atonement, Jesus will erect a millennial temple. He will build it with his own hands based on Zechariah chapter 6, verses 12 and 13. However, between Rosh Hashanah, which was last week, and the Day of Atonement, which is next week, will be that 10-day, the 10 days of awe, in which Jews take 10 days to reflect. But, you know, eschatologically speaking, during the 10 days between trumpets and atonements, Jesus will, well, number one, he is going to build a 21-story high temple. Ezekiel chapters 40 through 46, covering 202 detailed verses about the Messiah's temple. He will also rearrange Jerusalem, which is right now 8.5 square miles. But in the kingdom, it's going to expand. It's going to morph to 2,500 square miles, branching out 50 miles in each direction. Jesus will also rearrange the Temple Mount, the most hotly contested piece of real estate on earth today between Israel and the Palestinians. He is going to rearrange the Temple Mount. Then he will prepare for the campaign of Armageddon mentioned in Revelation 16:16, where all the nations of the world gather in the Jezreel Valley north of Israel. I take my tour groups there all the time. And then they will march south to the city of Jerusalem, where the battle will take place based on Zechariah chapter 14 and verse number 2. Then Jesus will gather those Jews that are sheltered there in Petra, which is in southern Jordan today. He will shelter them, feed them, and keep them there, based on Isaiah chapter 16, verses 1 and 4, based on Isaiah chapter 20 and verse number 26, 26:20, also Isaiah 63, verses 1 through 6, Revelation 12, 6, and Revelation chapter 12 and verse 14. And then he will reestablish the throne of King David. All that is going to happen during that 10-day period prior to Yom Kippur. And then on Yom Kippur, he is going to erect that temple, and then he's going to walk right into that 21. He will reign from the city of Jerusalem. He will reign from the city of Jerusalem as his headquarters and capital of earth at that time. Jeremiah 3:15 calls Jerusalem at that time the throne of the Lord. And by the way, based on Ezekiel chapter 48 and verse 35, God will change the name of Jerusalem from Yerushalayim to Yahweh Shema. That's how the Bible calls it in Hebrew, Yahweh Shema. The Lord is there. Jesus is physically and he is bodily present there. in the city of Jerusalem. As I said, Ezekiel chapters 40 through 46 are 202 detailed verses concerning the Messiah's temple. And that temple, by the way, folks, will have certain elements that will be missing in it. You say, what are you talking about? Well, in Ezekiel's temple, or what we would call the Messiah's temple, there's going to be no wall of partition. That wall was waist high to keep Gentiles, the non-Jews, out of the court of the women and the court of Israel. That partition was in the tabernacle and the first and second Jewish temples, but guess what? It's missing in Ezekiel's temple, the Messiah's temple. You know why? Paul said in Ephesians 2:14 that Jesus is our shalom. He is our peace who has broken down the middle wall of partition between us and has made both one, Jew and Gentile, one in the Messiah, one in Christ. And you know, and when you walk into the tabernacle or the first and second Jewish temples, you would look to the right and you will notice the table of showbread. But you know something that is also missing in Messiah's temple? There's no table of showbread there in this millennial temple, in Ezekiel's temple. Why? Remember what Jesus said in John chapter 6, verse number 12? He says, Ani hu lechem chayim. I love that Hebrew, man. Ani hu lechem chayim. He says, I am the bread of life. So why do we need a table of showbread when we have the real deal? The bread of life himself will be there. By the way, what town was Jesus born in? Beit Lechem. You divide the word Bethlehem into two Hebrew words. Beit Lechem. Beit, house, Lechem, bread. The bread of life. Well, where was he born? He's born in the house of bread. So why do we need the table of showbread when the bread of life himself is going to be physically present there? And then if you look to the left tabernacle, or the first and second Jewish temple, you'll see that there is no menorah. That seven-branch candelabra spoken of in Exodus chapter number 25. We don't need it. You know why? Because Jesus said of himself in John chapter 6, verse 12, Ani or ha olam. I am the light of the world. So why do we need a menorah when the light of the world will physically be present with us? Jesus is the light of the world. And you will also notice what's missing in Ezekiel's temple, Messiah's temple, that was present in the tabernacle and the first and second Jewish temple, the veil. No veil is going to be present in Ezekiel's temple. Remember in Matthew chapter 27 and verse number 51, at the moment Jesus gave up the ghost, the veil of the temple was torn in twain from top to bottom. There was a reason why that happened, folks. Because of the sacrificial death of the Lord Jesus makes it possible for you and I to go into the most holy place when we come before the Lord in prayer. You see, it was only on Yom Kippur, only on the Day of Atonement, the high priest was allowed to go into the temple a year. That's it. Into the tabernacle, or into the first and second Jewish temples, into the most holy place, or commonly called the Holy of Holies. I like to use the word the most holy place because that's mentioned in the King James Bible. I don't find the word Holy of Holies in the King James. It's just the most holy place. The high priest was allowed only once a year to go into, the most holy place with the blood of the sacrifice to sprinkle it upon the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant. He can only do that once a year. But when Jesus died and gave up the ghost, that veil was torn. It was rent from top to bottom, allowing you and I to go into the most holiest. So that's not going to be present in Ezekiel's temple. I love Hebrews chapter 4, where it says, let us come boldly before the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy, privilege that the high priest did not have 3,500 years ago. He can only go into the most holy place once a year in Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. But because that veil was rent from top to bottom, you and I can come into the most holy place anytime that we want. You want to know what else is missing in Ezekiel's temple, Messiah's temple? No Ark of the Covenant. That's not even mentioned in Ezekiel chapters 40 through 46, covering 202 detailed verses. It's not there. You know why? That Ark of the Covenant was a prototype. It was a model of him who is to come. And when you have the real deal there, you don't need the model. You don't need the prototype. Now, even the altar is going to be dramatically changed in Ezekiel's temple. The altar in Messiah's fourth temple will be dramatically changed. It was about the temple complex. Now, that altar had the four horns on it, the four horns of the altar. When I was at the Israel Museum in Jerusalem, they uncovered a 3,000-year-old four-horned altar made out of limestone, 3,000 years old, absolutely unbelievable. And they would tie, the sacrifice to those four horns. It had four horns on it. During the tabernacle and the first and second Jewish temples, that altar that was outside of the temple complex, or in the courtyard, if you will, had a ramp that would lead up to it, facing from south to the north, ascending up to the altar. There was a reason for that, folks. There was a reason why that God told Moses that I want that ramp facing from south to the north to ascend from the altar. You know why? There was a problem of sun, S-U-N, sun worship going on at that time. So the purpose of the ramp in biblical times, facing south to north, was to avoid sun worship. As a matter of fact, in Ezekiel chapter 8, verse 16, it says this, "And he brought me into the inner court of the Lord's house, and behold, at the door of the temple of the Lord, between the porch and the altar, were about 5 and 20 men, or 25 men, with their backs toward the temple of the Lord, and their faces toward the east, and they worshiped the sun toward the east." So that was a major problem, folks, in biblical times, which is the reason why God says, I want that altar facing from the south going to the north. Because if that ramp was positioned from the east to the west or west to the east in Bible times, they would have been worshiping the sun. And that's the reason why that God wanted that ramp facing south to the north as they ascended up to the altar. However, in Ezekiel's temple, it's going to be repositioned. In Ezekiel chapter 43 and verse 17, the latter end of that verse says this, "And his stairs shall look toward the east." So in other words, folks, in Messiah's temple on Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, the ramp on the altar will be repositioned from south to north, from west to the east. And yet, Ezekiel calls that altar in Hebrew, Ariel. Ariel meaning lion-like or lion of the tribe of Judah. So I hope you're getting the picture here, folks. During that time, during the millennial kingdom, we'll walk up that ramp, reposition from the west, ascending up to the east. And when they do that, they will look into that fourth temple that will be built by the hands of the Lord Jesus himself. They will look into that temple. They will look into the most holy place, and they will see the Lion of the tribe of Judah seated on the throne of David. And then they'll worship the Son. And it ain't going to be the S-U-N. It's going to be the S-O-N. I love how God works things out like that. But we also know that during that time, according to Ezekiel chapter 45, verses 15, 18, 21, and 22, animal sacrifices will be reinstituted. They will be reinstated, if you will. And a lot of Christians can't swallow that, but that's what the Word of God says, folks. And they will be in memorial, I believe, pointed to the once and for all sacrifice of Jesus the Messiah. Because mind you, you will have people in the kingdom in physical, natural bodies. Those who survive the tribulation period will be there in physical, natural bodies. They're going to be able to procreate during the kingdom. They're going to have kids that will grow up unsaved. And so, therefore, those animal sacrifices, I believe, will be reinstituted, according to Ezekiel, because of sin. And so, you know, that might be another study for another time. But we know that Jesus fulfilled the first four feasts of Leviticus 23. He was crucified on Passover. He was buried on unleavened bread. He rose again on first fruits. He sent the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. He fulfilled the first four feasts. He's going to fulfill the last three according to Bible prophecy. He will fulfill Rosh Hashanah, the Feast of Trumpets, at his second coming. Not the rapture per se, but at his second coming, because, again, that's not a Christian feast. That is a Jewish feast. Matthew 24:31, another trumpet sounds at the end of the tribulation period to gather his elect from the four winds of the earth. That's another way of saying from the four corners of the earth. Not taken up into the sky, gathered them from the four corners of the earth to Jerusalem for the inauguration of the kingdom. So Rosh Hashanah, Feast of Trumpets, the second coming. Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, Messiah walks into his very temple in Jerusalem. And then next week we'll talk about Sukkot, Feast of Tabernacles. We'll talk about Jesus' reign from the city of Jerusalem in the land of Israel during that 1,000-year kingdom reign of the Lord Jesus. So, folks, these high holy days remind us that God will keep his promises and that Bible prophecy will indeed be fulfilled. And we know, folks, that the next prophetic event on God's calendar will indeed be the rapture of the church of the living God. What a time to be alive today to see all these prophecies unfolded right before our very eyes. In Luke 21:28, that when you see prophecy being fulfilled in its early stages, unfolding in its early stages, he said, you better start looking up. I am about to return. Wow. And all I can say to that is, Maranatha, even so come, Lord Jesus. But hey, if you're watching right now and you say, August, I don't have that assurance of going to heaven when I die. I don't have that assurance that if I was to die right now that I would meet the Lord Jesus in heaven. August, if I was to die right now, I think I'd go to hell for the rest of eternity. It doesn't have to be that way. Remember, the Lamb of God came to take away the sin of the world. He came to take away your sin. He came to shed his blood to wash away your sins. He has a free gift for you. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, Metanaha Elohim, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And are you willing to receive that free gift today? For those of you that might be watching live right now, those that are going to be watching on YouTube, listening to the live segment on Blog Talk Radio, you can right here, right now, receive God's free gift and trust in the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior. Say, August, would you help me to do that? I'd love to. If you're watching right now or if you're listening right now, all you simply need to do is just repeat after me. It's not the prayer that saves you. You're praying to the one who can save you. You must repent of your sins. Change of heart, change of mind, change of attitude. Change of heart toward your sin, change of mind toward your view of God. And ask Jesus to come into your heart and save you today. Say, August, I'm ready to do that. Well, if that's you, then just pray this prayer. Repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. You died on the cross for my sins. You shed your precious blood for me. I repent of my sins today. And I ask you, Lord Jesus, to forgive me of all my sins. And I now receive you as my Lord and personal Savior. Change my life, Lord. Make me born again through the Spirit of God. And I receive that free gift of eternal life. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me today. Because it's in your name I pray. Amen. Wow, praise the Lord. It's as simple as ABC. It's unfortunate that there are those in the church today that try to complicate the simplistic plan of God's salvation. It's as simple as ABC, folks. If you prayed that prayer today, whether you're watching live or maybe you're watching the archive down the road, I really would love to hear from you. Send me a message, a Facebook message. Say, August, I trusted in the Lord Jesus as my personal Savior. I want to rejoice with you. If you live anywhere locally in the Rhode Island area, man, I'd love to have you come and visit us at our home church, the Greater Rhode Island Baptist Temple in Johnston, Rhode Island, 671 Greenville Avenue in Johnston, Rhode Island. Man, we want to rejoice with you. We'd love to love on you, hug on you, and say welcome to the family of God. You know, whenever I travel to Israel and when we get to Ben Gurion Airport in Tel Aviv, and the moment we get up that escalator, there's a big sign that says in Hebrew, Beruchim Habaim Israel, welcome to Israel. What I would love to say to you is Beruchim Habaim Hashemayim, welcome to the family of God. Man, it's as simple as ABC. And I really would love to hear from you. Well, if you live out of state, I'd love to help you find a good local Bible-believing gospel preaching church in your area. Well, next week, I'm going to be talking about Sukkot, the Feast of Tabernacles, final and seventh feast of the High Holy Days on the Jewish calendar. So don't forget to tune in to Today in Bible Prophecy Radio with August Rosado next Saturday, Lord willing, 2:30 p.m. It's upcoming Monday. I know it's a holiday, but Columbus Day, Monday I will be on 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time as we look at Daniel chapter 6 for our morning Bible prophecy devotion as we look at the book of Daniel chronologically. And so I hope that you would tune in for that. Don't forget to visit my website, todayinbibleprophecy.org. Again, while you are there, sign up for our newsletters. They go out every single week. And folks, if our ministry has been a blessing to you, if you've been watching these live streaming or you've been following us for a long period of time, and if our ministry has been a blessing to you, would you consider praying about helping us out with your love offering, your financial support to this ministry? We have a PayPal button on the website, and you can give an amount as to whatever the Lord lays on your heart. And your financial support helps us going here in the ministry here at Today in Bible Prophecy Ministries. And we thank all of you who have been praying for us, and those of you, I just want to say, Toda Rabbah, thank you so very much. And you've just been a blessing. All of you have been a blessing to us who have been praying for our ministry and financially supporting our ministry. We really do appreciate all of you. So you can visit my website and you can hit the secure PayPal button and you can help us out with whatever the Lord lays on your heart. But then again, if not, then at least sign up for our newsletter while you are there. All right, well, let me just say hello to those of you that are watching right now. Tommy Costa. Man, I haven't seen Tommy in a while. And of course, in December, Tommy, we will be back at Blackstone Valley preaching at the Blackstone Baptist Church. And so we're looking forward to that. And I'm hoping to see you, brother. I didn't see you last time we were there. I'm hoping to see you there again. He says, I use Periscope and look forward to using Facebook Live. It's a real blessing, Tommy. Take advantage of it, buddy. Stephen, Melissa Waddell. Stephen, Melissa, thank you so much for your prayers and also for your financial support. I really do appreciate that. Thank you guys so very much. Anthony Parker is watching. Anthony, thank you so much for tuning in. And Tommy says, hey, you were in my dream last night. Laugh out loud. Would be interested to see what that dream was all about there, Tommy. Mark Lambert, another, a good buddy of mine, Swansea, Massachusetts. And Mark, thank you so much for tuning in. I appreciate you, buddy. He says, Tommy, thank you. I deleted my old profile and came back to honor my dad's old profile. Well, that's a real blessing that you can honor your father. My pastor, Dr. Jeff Ansbach, is also watching, and I'm really humbled to have someone like him watching me. And, Pastor, I appreciate you. Thank you so much. I'm really looking forward to seeing you tomorrow morning at church. I'm just looking forward to fellowshipping and worshiping with my church family. I love my church family. I love my pastor and his wife and their family, and just love them all dearly. I'm just blessed and humbled to be a member of the Greater Rhode Island Baptist Temple in Johnston, Rhode Island. Let's see. Nancy Jordan Smith is watching. Nancy, thank you so very much. Tommy says, considering the Bible says that when Israel becomes a nation, then we are in our last generation. An average generation is between 70 and 80 years. I think that's about right, Tommy, between 70 and 80 years. So do you think 2018, 2028 could be the end? Only God knows, Tommy. You know, I know that there's a video on YouTube that uses that same exact analogy in reference to the second coming, not to the rapture. And so we don't know the day. We don't know the hour. We can only speculate. And, of course, you know, we're in the Jewish New Year, 5777. And, of course, the rabbis say that 5,777 years ago, God created the heavens, the earth, and man on the sixth day. But we also know that there's a 223-year discrepancy in the Jewish calendar. Others will try to say, well, none of these things will happen for another, you know, 223 years. I just have a hard time trying to swallow that. I just don't think all these things we see happening right now in the Middle East and around the world, the European Union has infrastructure for the revived Roman Empire. Look how dangerous Russia is becoming. The Gog Magog of Ezekiel 38:39. Iran is calling for Israel's annihilation. Persia, Ezekiel 38 and verse number 5. Look what's going on in Syria right now. The king of the north, 11 verse 40. Egypt is calling to break the peace treaty with Israel. They'll help Syria attack. And Daniel 11:40, the king of the south. I mean, everything is just right now. Everything is just unfolded right before our very eyes. So I just have a difficult time to believe that none of these things are going to unfold for another 223 years. I just can't comprehend that. And so, but there is a discrepancy within the Jewish calendar. But Jesus said that when you see these things begin to come to pass, Tommy, he said, look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. In Luke chapter 20, in verse number, Luke 21:28. Let's see here. He says, my dad's birthday is October 16th. Mine will be October the 12th, this upcoming Wednesday. Janice Waterberger joined. Janice, thank you so much for watching faithfully and appreciate you and your financial support. Thank you so very much. Scott Peterson joined. Scott, thank you for watching. Monica, let me see, Areza, I hope I said that right. Monroy joined. Thank you so much. Dr. Andy Woods also joined in. Good friend of mine. Good Bible prophecy teacher, very knowledgeable, pastor at the Sugar Land Bible Church in Sugar Land, Texas, a suburb of Houston. Andy, thank you so much for tuning in. And finally, Wally R. Rivera. So thank all of you guys for tuning in. I appreciate you. Don't forget, Monday I'll be back on 11 a.m. Eastern